letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Titles appear on a black screen. Netflix presents a Netflix original film. Fast motion graphics of a solitary bare tree in a desert. The tree grows leaves. Logo, Mica Entertainment. Production company logo, Demarest Films. Graphic of a man standing on a mountaintop under a stormy sky. He raises his arms while lightning strikes. Logo, Intrepid Pictures. Titles, Demarest Films presents, in association with Mica Entertainment, LLC. In a bedroom at night, a young boy sleeps on his side in bed. A man appears in the doorway, wearing jeans and a t-shirt. He is holding a handgun. The man stands watching the boy sleep. Close-up of his hand holding the gun, his fingers twitch. Suddenly he turns and looks back down the hall. At the end of the hall is a half-open door to outside. The man looks frightened. He gently shuts the bedroom door and looks back at the peacefully sleeping boy.
I'm sorry, Cody.
He raises the gun. Just as he aims at the boy, the door flies open behind him. The man turns and fires a shot down the hall. There is nothing there. Cody, now awake, looks up at the man fearfully. The man starts crying. He drops the gun. The screen goes dark. Title, Before I Wake. Next, a couple sits in an office, across from a woman behind a desk.
I've had a case come back across my desk that could be a very good fit. Cody, he's 8. His birth mother died when he was 3. And we placed him with a couple that, it turned out, weren't fit. The second couple we placed him with abandoned him.
Oh, my God.
When I went for his annual follow-up, I found him living alone in the apartment.
Alone?
For almost a month, we think. Neighbors called once he started going door to door. Look, I like this kid. We're not supposed to have opinions like that, but I do. He's resourceful. He's resilient. I'm not saying these things haven't affected him. He's guarded. He has sleep issues.
Of course.
But for all he's been through, he hasn't let it turn him into a victim. Which is what made me think of the two of you. Now that you've been approved, I think you'll make wonderful foster parents. My question for you is, are you ready for this?
They look at a photo of Cody, then at each other. Now, a car heads up a driveway to a large house surrounded by trees. The couple enters the house, carrying some shopping bags and a lampshade. Later, the husband is in a bathtub. He uses a power drill to install a safety bar on the wall beside the tub. Next, in another room, he looks at a framed photo of a boy wearing a cowboy hat. He takes the photo down from the wall. Nearby, the wife holds a photo of herself holding an infant. She looks down at the photo sadly. The husband continues to remove a series of family photos from the wall, packing them into boxes. The last one is a large portrait of the two of them with the boy. He reaches for it.
We can leave that one.
Sure. And clean slate, no?
Just that one.
Now, the wife attends a support group meeting.
Whatever it was like for her, they said it was fast. And that she wasn't aware of what was happening. It's not nearly as bad as what I imagined in my head. And I find comfort in that.
That's very good, Charlie. Anyone else?
The woman speaks.
We have decided to bring
a child into our home tomorrow.
That's wonderful, Jesse. Congratulations.
Thank you, Peter.
How have you been feeling these days?
I still can't sleep at night very well.
You still on Ambien?
Yes.
Insomnia is common. Somnia is Latin for dreams. Insomnia simply means no dreams. And what else is a child but our dreams? Our hopes manifest. We talked about numbness last week, which is something a lot of us have felt.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing any better with that. I think I am, a little. But the color hasn't returned to the world just yet.
How is Mark with this? We haven't seen him here for a while.
We always say that people process grief differently. Mark and I have had different experiences with this.
Feeling distant from a spouse is
common. Yes. I just wish I knew how to fix this for him, for us. And I really wish he would continue coming to group with me because it's the only time I feel, I don't know, awake.
Later in the dark, Jesse lies in bed wide awake. Mark is asleep beside her. She gets out of bed. Wearing a robe, Jesse walks slowly up the stairs. She heads down a hallway, then stops outside a closed door. Holding her robe tightly, she stands staring at the door. She opens the door and steps inside the dark room. She clicks on a light switch, revealing a bathroom with a tub at the far end. She takes a few steps inside, staring at the tub with its two safety bars that Mark installed earlier. Next, she kneels down beside the tub. She takes a breath, then reaches out and grabs hold of one of the bars. When she touches it, she has a brief flashback of splashing water. She closes her eyes, then removes her hand from the bar. She opens her eyes and reaches across the tub to take hold of the second bar. Another flashback, this time of a tiny hand trying to grab the side of the tub. More flashbacks, a boy in the tub splashing and struggling in the water. Visibly shaken, Jesse pushes away from the tub. She sits on the floor, staring at it. She hugs her knees to her chest and closes her eyes, trying to calm herself. She opens her eyes and stands up, still staring at the bathtub. She turns and slowly walks towards the door. She pauses, turns back to look at the tub one more time, then turns off the light and leaves. Now, daytime. Mark and Jesse look through the front door glass, watching a car approach up the driveway. The car parks, and the woman from Child Services gets out. She goes around to the passenger side.
You ready?
I think so.
They go outside to greet Cody.
Hey.
Let's go say hi.
The woman introduces them.
This is Mr. and Mrs. Hobson. Hi.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Cody smiles and extends his hand.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Mark shakes hands with Cody, who is holding a shoebox.
Can I take that box for you?
Cody pulls the box away from him.
No? Okay. Whatever you want to do, pal.
Cody looks thoughtful. Then he holds out the box towards Mark.
Well, thank you. I'll take good care of it.
Jesse and the woman smile at each other. Next, they all go inside the house.
Come on in.
Here we are.
Cody starts to take off his shoes.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Shoes make floors dirty.
Now shoeless, all four of them head into the living room.
You have a beautiful home.
Thank you. It's all yours, Cody. Nothing's off limits.
Yeah, come on, I'll show you my Xbox. Or, well, we could get a Wii, I guess. I'm not sure which one you play it. You play, though, right?
I think Mark's pretty excited to have someone to play with.
You ever played this Kinect? Sports thing? It's got a sensor on it, so there's no controller. Whatever you do, the little dude does. You can swing, you can throw, you can kick, and the little guy does a... I'll show you. It's pretty neat.
While Mark was speaking, Cody was focused on the family portrait on the wall. Next, they show Cody his bedroom.
It doesn't look like much. We want you to decorate it the way you like it.
Really?
That's right.
Cody goes over to the window and touches the drapes, which are printed with large butterflies.
Well, we're going to replace those. I just threw whatever in the basket, but you can pick out anything you want.
Cody collects butterflies.
You do?
Really?
I love this room.
Cody smiles at them. Mark takes Jesse's hand. Later, Jesse tucks Cody into bed.
Remember, it's just the first night. We're all in this together. You okay?
I like your eyes.
Thank you.
They're really pretty.
Mark smiles as he watches from the doorway.
Let's get some sleep.
Good night, Mrs. Hobson.
Good night, Cody. Sleep tight.
She turns off his bedside lamp. Then she joins Mark. They wave at Cody and shut the door. Cody sits up in bed. He waits for a moment, then climbs out and retrieves his shoebox from under the bed. He places the box on the bed and takes off the lid. He takes out a book and tosses it on the bed. Then he takes out a can. He pops open the can and drinks from it. Next, under the sheets by the light of a flashlight, Cody looks at a book about butterflies with text and photos. The next day, outside of school, Mark helps Cody with his backpack.
All right. There. What's your favorite kind of pizza?
Pineapple.
Yeah? That's what we're gonna have tonight. Celebrate a brave day. Let's go. You ready?
He takes Cody's hand. Next, in a classroom.
So let's all say, welcome, Cody.
Welcome, Cody.
You can take that seat right over there. All right, let's open those notebooks. Everyone ready? The first word is...
Later, Cody is in the bathtub. Jesse knocks on the door.
Is everything okay in there?
I'm fine.
He's fine.
Jesse hesitates.
I just wanted to make sure I could still hear him.
He's fine.
Now, in Cody's room, Jesse folds clothes and lays them on the bed. Her foot hits the shoebox under the bed. She crouches down and pulls out the box. She places it on the bed and opens it. On top is the book titled The Life Cycles of Butterflies. She picks up the book and moves it aside, revealing several soda cans and a bottle of non-prescription pills. She picks up the bottle and studies the label. Later at bedtime, Mark and Cody look at the butterfly book in bed.
What's this guy?
The Blue Morpho.
Sounds like some kind of superhero or something.
And what is this? This is like a cocoon or something?
It's a chrysalis. It keeps them safe till they're grown up.
Jesse watches from the doorway.
Well, I guess we better go to bed.
All right.
Mark gives him a kiss and heads out of the room.
I'll be right there.
Okay, sweetie.
Jesse enters and sits down on Cody's bed.
Hey. So I was straightening up for you earlier, and I accidentally found some of your stimulants.
Stimulants?
Things that keep you awake.
I don't like to sleep.
I know, but there's nothing for you to be scared of here.
Yes, there is.
What?
The Kinker Man.
Who's that?
He comes when I sleep. He eats people.
Well, that's no good.
He ate my mom.
You know, when I was a little girl, I thought there was a witch scratching at my window. But it was just a tree. The branches had grown a little too long, and they hit the window when the wind blew. Once I knew that, the witch never came back. Sometimes scary things go away when we understand them a little.
Not the Kinker Man.
Well, you're in a new home now. I'm sure he can't find you.
He's always with me. He says so.
Next, in the living room, Jesse with Mark.
No, you did what you had to do. I mean, you can't let him have a sugar stash in the middle of his room. Under his bed.
I don't know. I still feel like I was trespassing.
No. You were parenting.
A view of the house from outside. Inside, Mark watches a black and white movie on TV.
When you came in, you...
Jesse has fallen asleep on his lap.
There was something.
What did it look like?
Well, it was wearing a black thing that went all the way to the floor.
Weren't you a little frightened at the time?
Suddenly, several butterflies appear in front of the screen.
That, Mr. Lauren,
yes.
Is hysteria. But then, Doctor, how do you explain what happened to Lan?
He wakes up Jesse. They both stand up and stare in disbelief as about a dozen butterflies fly around the room.
Thanks, Doc.
Where did they come from? Have you ever seen this many?
Do we have any jars?
Mark goes into the kitchen and starts opening cupboards.
Butterflies even come out at night?
One of the blue butterflies lands on Jesse's finger. She smiles. Mark returns holding a beer glass.
Maybe they're just big, pretty moths.
Jesse's butterfly takes off and a smaller black moth takes its place.
What?
It bit me.
Mark tries to catch one.
Butterfly bit you?
No, it... Where are they coming from?
Mark traps one in the upside-down glass. Some of the other butterflies fly out through an open wooden glass door. Jesse goes over to the door and slides it shut.
I need a lid.
Mark covers the open end of the glass with his hand. Suddenly, all of the butterflies disappear, including the one in the glass.
What the hell?
You saw it might have been a ghost, Nora, but what was in there with me was no ghost.
The hell just happened?
Later, Jesse lies in bed, Mark asleep beside her. She turns from her side to her back. She is awake. Now, wearing a robe, she enters the dark kitchen. She takes a glass from a cupboard and goes over to the sink. She turns on the faucet and fills the glass with water. She swallows a pill, then drinks the water. She stops and turns her head. She listens for a moment, then resumes drinking. The open cupboard door slams shut. Jessie is startled. She turns around. Hearing a sound, she moves slowly towards the living room. She peers into the dark room. She sees a dim figure of a boy standing next to the fireplace. Her water glass crashes to the floor. She looks back to the living room, and the figure is gone. She sees the shadowy figure run up the stairs. Jessie slowly walks towards the stairs. Next, she opens the door to the bathroom. She switches on the light and looks at the bathtub against the far wall. Next, she opens the door to Cody's bedroom. She stands in the doorway and watches him sleep. The next day, Jessie is at her support group meeting.
I saw something last night. I think it was Sean. I know we have all had those dreams and felt like we've seen our kids out in the world. But this was different. And I couldn't help but feel that it was because...
Go ahead.
He knows about Cody. And he's angry with me.
For replacing him. We talked about something like this at the beginning when Mark wanted to sell the house, but you refused because...
I felt like he was still there.
You said you saw him sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. The thing you need to understand about dreams, even lucid dreams, which can feel very... real while we're having
this
them.
This wasn't a dream. I was awake.
Doesn't matter. If we're suppressing negative emotions like guilt or fear, especially if we're sleep deprived on top of that, our subconscious will figure out a way to process those emotions, even if we're awake. We can even achieve levels of REM sleep while we're awake. It's called a waking dream. It's more common than you think.
Just felt very real.
I'm sure it did. But waking dreams, any dreams, actually, are conversations that we're having with ourselves. Every character in your dreams is actually just you. And when we're trying to bury uncomfortable emotions or ideas or we feel threatened, sometimes the only outlet they have is our subconscious. It's normal for us to feel haunted by our past, by our losses, by the children we've lost. But Jessie, no. Sean is not haunting your home. The question is, what are you trying to say to yourself? What unresolved emotions are struggling to get out?
Jessie nods and smiles. Now in class, Cody draws a butterfly with crayons. A blonde girl sits at the desk next to his.
That's pretty. It's a monarch. Don't they have,
She wiggles her fingers on top of her head.
I guess so.
The girl reaches over and draws antennae on his butterfly with a black crayon. They smile at each other. Now a man escorts a scowling boy into the classroom.
Oh, thank God. Where did you find him this time?
He's in the maintenance shed, which will be locked from now on.
Oh, no, not your seat. You know where you're going.
The boy looks angry as he walks past Cody towards the back of the room. Cody turns and watches the boy take a seat against the back wall. Then he returns to his coloring.
Is this everything?
I'll do a sweep.
Later after dinner, Jesse and Mark are in the kitchen doing dishes. Mark leaves the kitchen and looks into the living room. He sees Cody standing, staring at the family portrait on the wall. He goes over and crouches down beside him.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing? All right?
Who's that?
Well, it's our son. His name was Sean.
Where is he?
Well,
he's in heaven.
Jesse has joined them.
That's where my mom is.
Tell me, what was she like?
I don't remember her. How did Sean go to heaven?
Close up of Sean's smiling face in the portrait.
We wish he hadn't. Just like I'm sure you wish your mama hadn't.
He looks fun.
Later, a view from outside the house. Then Cody lies awake in bed. He snaps an elastic band around his wrist. His eyes slowly close. Then a close-up of Mark's face. His eyes suddenly open. Mark and Jesse have fallen asleep on the couch in front of the TV.
If you owe more than $10,000 to the bank or IRS, then you qualify for our debt relief program. Call us now to speak to a debt relief...
Without disturbing Jesse, Mark finds the remote and turns off the TV. A blue butterfly lands on Mark's finger. He looks at it curiously. He gently shakes Jesse awake.
Hey, Jess, look who's back.
Jesse sees the butterfly and sits up straight, staring at it.
Where the hell are they coming from?
Jesse looks towards the fireplace. She grips Mark's knee.
Help.
He looks over in the same direction. They both see their dead son, Sean, standing next to the fireplace, smiling. Their jaws drop. Jesse stands up and moves towards the vision. She kneels down until she is face to face with Sean. She slowly reaches out to touch him. She strokes his hair. Mark gets up from the couch and moves to join them. Mark kneels down in front of Sean. He reaches out and touches Sean's shoulder. Jesse continues to stroke the boy's head. Mark gently waves his hand in front of Sean's smiling face. Sean's expression does not change. Jesse pulls Sean towards her and holds him close. Suddenly, Cody awakens with a start. At the same time, Sean disappears from Jesse's arms.
No.
Jesse and Mark, still kneeling, look at each other stunned. They both turn towards the stairs and see Cody enter the room.
I'm sorry.
Cody walks to the kitchen, then returns. opening a can of soda. He heads back up the stairs. Jesse and Mark kneel on the floor in stunned silence. Back in bed, Cody sits, drinking from the can. In their room, Jesse lies in bed on her side. She is awake. Mark is beside her on his back. He is also awake.
He's real. You saw him. Touched him.
Now, morning at the kitchen table. Cody, wearing his school uniform, is eating cereal. Jesse and Mark both sit, staring at him.
I'm sorry.
Why?
My dream.
What do you mean, Cody? What happens when you dream?
I won't do it again. Please don't be mad.
Oh, hey, pal, we're not...
Honey, we're not mad.
Later, Jesse drops Cody off at school.
I hope you have a good day, Jesse.
You too.
Jesse stands next to the car, watching Cody walk away. Meanwhile, in Cody's bedroom, Mark flips through the butterfly book. He glances over at a jar on the bedside table containing a live orange butterfly. In the living room, Jesse stands, gazing at the family portrait. Mark comes downstairs carrying the book.
I wish we could have heard his voice.
Later, Cody exits the school with the rest of the students. Jesse is waiting at the car, holding two drink cups with straws. Next, Jesse and Cody arrive home. Mark is in the kitchen.
All right, who wants to set the table?
Come on, buddy.
Pizza!
After dinner, they play a video game.
I think you have to dive into the water.
Okay, you're okay.
Jesse sits behind them on the couch.
Oh! Okay.
That's one more round for you, buddy.
Hey, Cody. You know, yesterday you were asking about Sean. Do you want to see him?
Yes, please.
She puts a DVD into the machine and snuggles up next to Cody. On screen, home movies of a Christmas morning.
When's the last time you had a real Christmas?
I don't know.
You will this year.
On screen, Sean comes running down the stairs. He looks excited when he sees the Christmas tree.
Yay, yay. That's him.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Why did it whistle?
Oh, did Sean want a train? I don't remember saying anything about a train.
Hello. Cody is mesmerized by the video. Jesse smiles as she watches.
North Pole Express. North Pole Express. Santa lives there. North Pole Express. What happened to this one?
On screen, Jesse tickles Sean. Cody smiles.
Oh my God. Come on, fight back, buddy. You can escape.
Mark is holding back tears. He holds his hand up to his face and makes a fist.
Oh
On screen, Jesse and Sean rub noses.
So he used to give me Eskimo kisses. You see how he does that?
Where are you going, buddy?
Later, Jesse tucks Cody into bed. He yawns.
That's right. You didn't get much sleep last night, did you? In this house, it's okay for you to relax. You're home. Now get some sleep.
Later, Jesse sits on the couch. Mark lies with his head in her lap. She is watching TV.
I'm putting on another pot.
Well, let's call it a night.
He's a tough one. He needs to sleep.
I know, babe. So do we. Let's go to bed.
I'm gonna make another pot.
Okay, I'm going to bed.
Mark gets up from the couch. Jesse goes into the kitchen and starts to make a pot of coffee. A brightly lit butterfly flies behind her back towards the living room.
Jess? Jess?
Jesse heads into the living room. A Christmas tree is there. Glowing butterflies, like electric lights with wings, fly in and land on the tree, creating the decorations. Jesse and Mark watch in awe. Jesse holds out her hand, and a blue light butterfly lands in her open palm. Mark holds a green one in his hand. They look at each other and smile, fixated on the glowing butterflies. Jesse's butterfly flies off, joining the others flying around the room. Then Sean comes running down the stairs, wearing the same pajamas as he wore in the home movie.
He came!
Jesse and Mark look amazed. Jesse moves towards Sean. Then suddenly, he disappears.
I think it's a train!
Now Sean is under the tree, opening a gift.
Why? Did it whistle?
Sean tosses wrapping paper into the air, and it turns into electric butterflies. Mark watches with curiosity as Jesse continues to recreate the Christmas home movie. She kneels down next to Sean. Jesse and Sean rub noses. Sean looks up at Mark. Hundreds of butterflies swarm around a shadowy figure. The figure moves towards a door. Inside, Cody sleeps in his bed. The bedroom door opens, and the butterfly swarm enters along with the figure. Two of the butterflies are glowing with white electric lights. A dark shadow falls over Cody's peaceful face as the figure leans over and whispers in his ear. Cody sits up in bed wide awake. The shadow and butterflies are gone. Back in the living room, Jesse is still kneeling on the floor. Sean and the Christmas tree are gone. Mark slowly approaches her. Jesse stands up and they embrace.
Let's go to bed.
The next day in class, Cody draws a figure with a black crayon. The figure has black eyes and mouth. When he finishes drawing, he takes the crayon and scribbles all over it. He goes to flip his drawing pad to a clean page. The blonde girl sitting next to him looks over at it.
What is that?
Cody flips to a new page and starts drawing again.
A canker man. Sometimes if I do this, it keeps him away.
He draws the same figure again, then scribbles over it. Later, Mark and Cody arrive home.
Boys are home!
Hi there.
Okay, go on.
Cody goes to the kitchen. Mark looks into the dining room. He notices that all the framed photos of Sean are back on the wall. He heads into the kitchen.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I am a little hungry.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you go upstairs and wash your hands and come back and tell me all about your day. Okay?
Okay. Cody leaves. Mark.
Are we gonna talk about this?
Later, Cody's bedtime. As soon as the door is shut, he sits up and switches on the lamp on his bedside table. He pulls several balls of crumpled paper out of one of his shoes. Jesse stands in the living room. Mark is working at the dining room table.
He needs to sleep.
Okay, he needs to sleep. Yeah, Cody needs to sleep.
He stands up and faces her.
But Jesse, is that what this is about? Or is this about Sean? Okay.
He goes over to the wall and starts to take down the photos.
What are you doing?
This feels wrong, Jess. This felt wrong when you put in that DVD, and then it hasn't felt right since. It feels like abuse.
Abuse?
Yeah.
Abuse.
We promised to take care of that child, not use him like some home movie projector for...
That child needs to sleep. And if he can help us heal, we need to heal, Mark. He can help us heal.
This is not healing.
I saw it on your face. You felt it too.
Yeah, of course.
If you want to go to bed, go to bed.
She sits down on the couch.
Jess.
I'm staying here and I'm waiting for Sean.
That is not our son. That is not Sean. That is not our son.
I'm not going to let you take him away from me again.
Again? Hey.
He sits across from her.
I'm sorry.
It's not fair. Not fair!
He returns to the dining room wall and removes the rest of the framed photos. The next day, Jesse takes Cody to school. She opens the passenger door for him.
Hurry. See you later. You awesome?
Okay. Cody is carrying the butterfly in the jar. He heads towards the building. He smiles when he sees his blonde classmate waiting for him at the door. She waves. Suddenly, a boy knocks a jar out of Cody's hand. It smashes to the ground. Cody looks up at the bully, then shoves him, knocking him to the ground. The blonde girl looks down at him.
You started it, Tate.
They head inside with the other children, leaving Tate sitting on the ground. Cody glances back at him. Tate stands up, looking angry. Later, in class.
13 plus 5. Peyton.
18?
Yes. 15 plus 4. Hunter?
19.
Good. 7 plus 13.
Cody looks distracted.
Clara.
He grabs his forearm with his other hand and squeezes tight. His friend notices.
9.
Later with the teacher.
This time is fine, but if you're not feeling well enough for recess, maybe you should visit the nurse's room.
Cody looks out into the hallway, where Tate stands with his arms crossed.
Can I just stay here?
I have to step out, just for a minute. Why don't you put your head down and rest?
She leaves the room, shutting off the light. Tate is no longer in the hallway. Cody goes back to his seat. His head nods sleepily, and he rests his head on top of a binder on his desk. Now, Tate enters the dark classroom. He walks slowly towards the sleeping Cody. Tate looks down at Cody and smiles to himself. Then he notices another boy sitting at a nearby desk. It is Sean. Tate hears a sound and turns around. He looks up, frightened at what he sees. The shadowy figure from Cody's dream, surrounded by butterflies. Cody remains asleep. Cody's friend appears in the doorway. The pale, skeletal creature bends over backwards to look at her. Then the creature, along with hundreds of butterflies, attacks Tate. Cody awakes with a start. He sees his terrified friend standing in the classroom doorway. Later after school, Cody heads outside. He looks around anxiously as he heads for the car where Jesse is waiting for him. A police car with flashing lights is also parked at the school.
Cody, what's going on?
Let's go home.
What happened?
A kid ran away.
What?
He's done it before. He's a mean kid. Can we go home, please?
Okay. Cody gets into the car. Later, Cody sits on his bed doing homework. Mark opens the door.
You okay?
I'm fine.
Well, we didn't see very much of you tonight.
I'm sorry. I don't feel very well.
Don't feel well? Let's have a look at you.
He sits on the bed and feels Cody's forehead.
Worried about what happened at school tonight?
Cody nods.
Well, I think it's going to be okay. That little boy's going to turn up.
Later, Mark passes by Jesse in the living room on his way to bed.
Good night.
Good night.
You're going to use some sleep too, you know.
I'll be in soon.
Mark leaves. Jesse sits on the couch looking thoughtful. Then she goes into the kitchen and starts to prepare a pot of coffee. When she opens the coffee can and reaches in with a scoop, she finds that it is empty. In his room, Cody uses a filter to carefully pour coffee grounds into a glass of water. He sips the muddy-looking drink. Jesse sits on the couch waiting. Now, under the sheets, Cody reads his butterfly book with a flashlight. Hearing a sound, he emerges from under the covers. He shines the flashlight towards the outside door. Then he lies on his stomach across the bed, leans over, and shines the flashlight under the bed. Upside down, he searches under the bed, shining the flashlight all around. Satisfied at seeing nothing, he sits back up. A horrific version of Tate with black eyes and mouth is on the bed. Cody falls to the floor, terrified. The vision disappears. Jessie has fallen asleep on the couch. She slowly wakes up and smiles. Then her smile fades and she sits up. Sean is standing in front of her, repeating the same phrase over and over. Cody is still on the floor, propped up on his elbows. He shakes his head and blinks. The Tate creature appears under the bed. It reaches out, grabs Cody by the ankles, and pulls him under the bed. Both the creature and the Sean in the living room disappear. Jessie runs upstairs into Cody's room and finds him on the floor.
I'm awake.
She holds Cody and comforts him. The next morning, Mark is in Cody's room.
I'm sick. I don't want to go to school.
Sick, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's too bad. I guess you wouldn't be interested in doing a little shopping today. Pick up some stuff for your new room, but...
I don't think I deserved it.
If there's one thing I know, you deserve a good day.
At a hospital where she works, Jessie with the doctor.
How long hasn't he slept?
At least 2 days, but it's been going on since he first got home.
I'm giving him Zolpidem. It's a pediatric Ambien. Just a pill before bedtime should do the trick.
He writes a prescription.
It's just to get him started. You can't let him stay up for days on end. Sleep deprivation at this age can do real damage.
Thank you.
Later, Mark and Cody arrive home to find a detective and a uniformed officer waiting outside the front door.
Hi. Hi.
Mark takes 2 cans of paint out of the car and approaches the officers.
Can I help you guys?
I'm Detective Brown. This is Officer Murray. We'd like to ask your son a few questions about an incident that took place at school.
Cody, come here.
Cody walks towards them hesitantly. Later in Cody's bedroom, they work together as Mark assembles a race car bed.
Okay, screw.
Screw.
Phillips.
Phillips.
They both look up at the sound of the front door opening. Next, in the kitchen, Mark and Jessie prepare dinner. Cody enters, carrying a can of soda.
Hey, there he is.
You look better.
I feel a little better.
Good.
So the police came by today.
What'd they want?
Well...
I feel a lot better. Do you want to see my race car bed?
Race car bed?
I was getting to that. I guess this little kid still hadn't shown back up.
So why'd they come here?
Well, I guess they have to rule out abduction. I guess Cody saw the kid leave.
How did Sean die?
Jessie and Mark stop and stare at Cody.
What?
I just wondered.
They do not respond.
Hey, buddy. Why don't you go set the table? Okay? We'll be in a minute.
Cody nods and leaves. Later, Jessie is alone in the kitchen. There are 2 plates of chocolate cake. Jessie pours 2 glasses of milk. She picks up a prescription bottle and looks at it. Next, she enters Cody's room carrying a tray. Mark and Cody are painting the wall a bright orange color.
Nice. This is our tic-tac-toe game. Wanna play another one?
Hey.
Hey.
What do you think?
That is orange.
Weren't you glad we didn't go with fuchsia? What's this?
She hands each of them a plate and glass of milk.
Right. Thank you.
Welcome.
Jesse leaves.
Use a fork?
Mark eats the cake with his hands.
That's very civilized.
Later in the kitchen, Jesse looks thoughtful as she dries the dishes. Upstairs, the wall is finished. Mark tucks a sleepy Cody into his new race car bed.
Today was fun.
Today was my favorite day so far.
Yeah? Mine too. Hey, listen, about that question that you asked me earlier. Sean drowned. It was an accident. And then found out we couldn't have more kids, so.
I'm sorry I asked about that.
Oh, no, it's... You have the right to know. It's just important that you also know that nothing like that is ever gonna happen to you.
He kisses Cody's forehead. Cody's eyes droop and he falls asleep. Mark turns off the bedside lamp and leaves the room. He comes downstairs to find Jesse sitting at the dining room table, propped up on one elbow, staring absently.
You okay?
I don't think I am.
You're a great mom. That kid up there, he needs a great mom. You need a kid, it's a perfect match. We don't need anything else.
He comes around and sits beside her.
I know that you think. And God knows there's a big part of me that feels the same. But we don't. Come to bed.
He nudges her with his head. She picks up his hand and kisses it.
Yes, ma'am.
They both stand up to head upstairs, then stop in their tracks. The Christmas tree is back, with Sean standing next to it. A large gift box is on the floor in front of him. Jesse slowly enters the living room. She kneels down in front of the Sean. The large box is between them. Sean looks at her and blinks.
Sean?
Sean's mouth opens wide and a black liquid spews out all over Jesse. Then black moths start crawling out of his mouth. The lid flies off of the box. Mark dashes upstairs to Cody's room.
Cody, wake up! Wake up!
Two hands appear on the edge of the box. Jesse is frantically backing away as the black-eyed skeletal creature emerges. It spews dozens of moths out of its mouth.
Wake up!
Jesse runs upstairs.
Wake up.
Mark! Don't wake up!
He won't. For a while.
What do you do?
He's...
Cody!
Jesse looks back. The creature is on its way upstairs.
Cody! Wake up! Come on, wake up!
Mark slaps Cody's face, and for an instant, the creature disappears. Then it returns. Jesse enters Cody's room and shuts the door. She pushes against it with all her strength. Mark joins her.
I'm
The door breaks apart, throwing them both to the floor. The creature enters. Mark gets up and attacks it, trying to hold it back with a bear hug. The creature overpowers him.
Get out of here!
Jesse tries to free Mark, but the creature completely envelops and assimilates him. Then it backhands Jesse, knocking her across the room. The creature raises its head and stands tall. Mark is gone. Jesse loses consciousness. Next, Cody talks on a cell phone.
She will wake up! She will wake up! Here! She's awake! She's awake!
Jesse looks up at Cody from the floor. Next, police are at the house.
I'd like to take your formal statement, Mrs. Hobson, and then refer you to someone in social services.
Social services?
Why did you drug the child?
I gave him a sleeping pill. His doctor prescribed it.
Do you know the whereabouts of your husband day before last, around lunchtime?
One of the officers escorts Cody away.
No. To be near your son's school.
No. 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 No, no.
Ma'am.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, no,
ma'am, we have to remove the child from the house.
Oh, please.
Ma'am,
no, you
please.
Get me away.
She tries to run to Cody, but they hold her back. Later, the police have gone. Jesse wanders around the house alone. She enters her bedroom and sees some of Mark's clothes on the floor. She picks up a shirt and holds it close to her body. Now, daytime. In a parking lot, the woman from Child Services gets out of her car.
Natalie.
Jesse approaches her.
You haven't returned my phone calls.
I was at the police station. All night.
Where is he?
It's not your business anymore.
They enter Natalie's office.
Where's your husband?
I don't know. That's why I have to speak to Cody.
That's not gonna happen.
I need to find out more about him. About his dreams.
Natalie hesitates.
You've heard this before.
Natalie crosses the room to get some pamphlets. Jesse sees Cody's file on her desk.
There are several great support groups in here and a few therapists who specialize in domestic violence. I want you to reach out, get some help for your situation. And I never want to see you again.
Jesse glares at her. She takes the pamphlets and walks out. The file is now missing from Natalie's desk. Next, Jesse pulls over at the side of a quiet road. She opens the file and starts reading reports. There is a large stack of former foster parent profiles. She sees that one of them includes an application for self-admittance to a psychiatric hospital. Now, Jesse walks down the hall of St. Aidan's Hospital. She approaches a reception desk.
Hi, can I help you?
I'm here to see Weilin Young.
She is escorted to a large common room with tables and chairs. The man from the opening scene sits alone at a table.
Weilin, you have a visitor.
Thank you. What can I do for you?
I'm here to talk about Cody Morgan.
She sits down across from him. She opens the file.
It says here that you and your wife, Catherine, fostered Cody for 15 months before he was given to a Peter and Doris Clemens.
Wouldn't know about them.
They disappeared a year ago. Much like your wife.
What are we talking about here, miss?
We're talking about what happens when he dreams. I've seen it too.
You have now.
I watched it. my husband.
I wouldn't say that around here. They fit you for slippers.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, I am wasting your
time. Wait.
She stands up.
I'm sorry. You can only hear you're crazy for so long before you start to believe it.
Jesse sits back down. Whelan leans in towards her.
That little boy's dreams come true. Real and true. It's an amazing, beautiful thing. But so do his nightmares. And they're
dangerous.
Deadly.
Get him back. My husband.
I don't know. Wherever that thing comes from, it takes them with it. If they exist at all, it's only in Cody's mind.
How do you know that?
Katie and I fostered two kids before Cody. His mother had died. No other family. He was sweet. Independent. An artist, I thought. Started with the butterflies.
Flashback. Whelan and his wife stand, watching butterflies fly around a room. They are smiling at each other. The butterflies disappear. They turn and see Cody standing in his pajamas at the bottom of the stairs.
That went on for a few weeks. We thought it was magical. And then Katie got sick. Had a bad flu.
Flashback. Whelan is at Katie's bedside.
And it seemed to really upset Cody.
Cody stands in the doorway.
And then...
Flashback. While Katie and Whelan sleep, their bedroom door opens. Katie wakes up. The skeletal creature covers her mouth with its hand. Whelan wakes up to find his wife being absorbed by the creature. It touches Whelan's head and he cries out, which wakes up Cody. Whelan turns on the light. Both the creature and Katie are gone. Cody appears in the doorway.
I'm sorry.
Flashback. Whelan desperately shows Cody photos of himself with Katie. No reaction from Cody. Later, while Cody is asleep, Whelan is reunited with his wife. He holds her close.
But it wasn't Katie.
To Jesse.
It was just his impression of her.
Katie's face is artificial and plastic looking.
That was all that was left.
Flashback. Katie disappears in Waylon's arms.
He was too young. He was too young to even remember her right. And I hated him for that. I know I shouldn't have. God help me, I hated him for that.
Flashback. Whelan, carrying a gun, approaches Cody, sleeping in bed.
But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. If I had, your husband would be alive. That other family would be alive. Maybe you can. Succeed where I failed.
No. No.
It's the only way.
Thank you for for your time. And I'm sorry for your loss as well.
Do you really want to bet your life that an 8-year-old won't have another nightmare?
It's not his fault.
It'd be a mercy. Someone has to do it.
Do you know anything about his birth mother? There's nothing in the file.
Only that she died. I assume the way my wife did. The way your husband did.
Jesse gets up and leaves.
What are you hoping to find?
Later, Jesse has the contents of the file spread out on her bed. She studies them. Meanwhile, Cody sits on a cot in a small room, holding his knees to his chest. The view zooms out from his room, down a long dark hallway to another hallway, then finally outside. The building is a large white institution behind an iron gate. Now morning. All of the file contents are spread out on the kitchen table. A close-up of one of the documents reveals it to be Cody's mother's admittance to Marion General Hospital. Next, Jessie arrives at the hospital wearing her work scrubs.
Dr. Tennant told me not to come back without a patient file. He's tried to call.
Do you have the PID?
I don't. All I have is a last name and a date.
Now, Natalie and a colleague observe Cody sitting by himself in a recreation room.
Night nurse said he didn't sleep last night.
That's two nights in a row, then. That we know of.
Policy says we can't let them go this long.
I'd like to stay here with him tonight, if that's okay.
At the hospital, Jesse sits near reception, looking through the file.
You signed for the file. You can take it.
Jesse gets up and brings the file over to the desk.
There's a PE number here on her intake. How long do you keep those?
If nobody claimed them, there's a chance they're still down there.
Now, in a storage room, Jesse searches among long rows of stacked boxes. She finds a box, removes a lid, and starts looking through the contents. She picks up a plastic bag labeled Andrea Morgan, Oncology. Later at home, she takes out the contents of the bag. First, a single shoe. Then, a large handmade blue butterfly made of cloth. Jesse holds it in both of her hands. Next, a hardcover notebook. Jesse opens it and starts to read. Now, Natalie supervises as Cody struggles with a nurse.
It's okay.
Cody, it's for your own good.
Honey, it's all right.
A doctor gives Cody an injection.
Good job, son. It's okay.
Now, Jesse is on the phone.
A case of mine was transferred, and I need the name of the facility for the report. Natalie Friedman, Friedman. Provider number 11714. Cody Morgan.
Cody is asleep on his cot. The door is ajar. Suddenly, a swarm of butterflies begins to fly out of the room. Jesse stands outside, looking at the facility. She hesitates, then heads for the door. She enters the building and heads slowly up a dark staircase. A long hallway lies ahead of her. She slowly walks towards the next staircase. A she reaches the first step, a swarm of butterflies swoops past her and heads upstairs. She continues up the stairs. She pauses at a landing, then keeps going. At the top of the stairs, against the wall, Natalie's face is visible. Jesse moves closer and sees that Natalie is encased in a giant chrysalis.
Where is he?
Natalie's eyes are open, but she does not speak. Now, Jesse enters another hallway through a double door. As she slowly walks, she passes an open door. She stops and comes back. She looks through the open door and sees her own bathroom from home with a tub against the far wall. She enters the room and approaches the tub. It is a freestanding tub, different from the one at home. As she turns and heads back towards the door, she hears the sound of splashing. She turns back to the tub. She sees the tub is half filled with water. A closer look reveals that the water is red. She turns back again. Tate is there. He opens his wide black mouth. Startled, she trips and falls onto her back next to the tub. She looks up and sees Sean looking at her over the edge of the tub. A drop of water falls on her forehead. She sits up and scrambles away. She still sees Sean sitting in the tub, looking at her with hollow eyes, fully clothed. Then Sean lies down in the tub. Fully submerged, he flails his arms and legs. Jesse closes her eyes. She slowly turns away. She heads out the door and back into the hallway. Jesse sees an open door at the end of the hallway. She walks towards it. She reaches the open door and enters a room. It is similar to her living room at home, with a couch, lamp, chair, coffee table, and TV.
Cody?
Cody has been lying on the couch. He sits up and looks at her. A barefoot woman wearing a robe enters the room. She has long blonde hair like Jesse's. The woman approaches the couch, kneels down, and smiles at Cody. The face is a distorted version of Jesse, with mangled skin and hollow eye sockets. The Jesse creature reaches out and strokes Cody's hair with both hands. Suddenly, it thrusts its fingers into Cody's head. It turns and twists his head in its hands. When it removes its hands, Cody has now become a plastic-looking version of Sean with hollow eyes. The Sean creature and the Jesse creature turn towards Jesse. A Mark creature appears in front of her. A moth flies out of one of its hollow eye sockets. Jesse backs out of the room and shuts the door. Butterflies are all around her as Jesse turns down another hallway. At each doorway, there is a person encased in a chrysalis. Black vines line the walls and ceiling, connecting each chrysalis to the next. At the end of the hall, there is a door ajar. Jesse heads towards it. She reaches the door and pushes it all the way open. It is Cody's room. She sees him sleeping on the cot. Suddenly, the creature from Cody's dream grabs her by the shoulder, pulls her back, and throws her down the hallway. Jesse props up on her elbow. She sees the creature at the far end of the hallway near Cody's door. She gets to her feet. The creature roars and runs towards her at full speed. Jesse pulls the handmade butterfly out of her pocket and holds it out in front of her. The creature stops cold. The creature looks at the butterfly, then at Jesse's face. Jesse moves closer to the skeletal creature. She looks sympathetic. She folds up the fabric butterfly. She reaches out and gently touches the creature's body, then puts her arms around it and hugs it. As they embrace, they slowly sink towards the floor until Jesse is crouching. The creature then morphs into Cody. Jesse releases him. She looks into Cody's eyes. Cody disappears. Jesse stands up and heads back into Cody's room. He is asleep on the cot. She places the cloth butterfly on his chest, then picks Cody up and heads out of the room. As they reach the end of the hallway, all of the vines recede. All of the people are released from their chrysalis traps, including Natalie. Jesse heads down the stairs, carrying the sleeping Cody. She smiles at the butterflies, which are now all bright colors. There is also a colorful, gentle mist clinging to the ceiling. Natalie appears at the bottom of the stairs.
Wait!
Jesse looks back.
I'm taking him home.
Natalie looks at her. She swallows, then nods. Jesse turns and heads out the door. The next day at home, Jesse shows Cody his mother's notebook.
This is for you. It's your mother's journal. Your mother's name was Andrea Morgan. And I can tell by reading this, she loved you very, very much. When you were a baby, she noticed you were special.
Flashback. Andrea sees a tiny, colorful cloud floating above Cody's crib. Then, sitting on a bench at a beach, she finishes sewing the butterfly.
It was just the two of you against the world. She writes a lot about you and about your gift and how much she loved watching it grow.
Flashback. While holding baby Cody, Andrea sees the tiny cloud take the shape of a butterfly. Then Cody reaches a blank page.
I don't think she stopped writing because she didn't want to. I think it's because she got sick. Which just happens sometimes.
Flashback. Andrea in a doctor's office. Cody is a toddler.
These are some of your mother's test results. You see that word there?
Canker.
Not quite.
The report reads pancreatic cancer.
It's difficult to explain what cancer is to children in terms they can understand. Your mother started to look very different. Very fast.
Flashback. Andrea at chemotherapy. She is wearing a hat over a bald head.
And by the time she was in the intensive care unit, they started looking at foster parents for you. But they would have brought you in to see her one last time, to say goodbye.
Flashback. Little Cody visits his mother. Her head is bald, she is white and skeletal, and her eyes are sunken in.
Her voice would have been hard to hear, but I know she would have tried to say, if she could, the one thing she would never want you to forget.
I am always with you.
As you got older, you'd forget most of this, and you'd tell people that canker ate your mommy. And as more time went by, in your mind,
the canker man ate my mommy.
And your mind, Cody, your amazing, special, one-of-a-kind mind made him real. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I used you like I did with Sean. But I'll never do that again. Okay? Never.
Later, bedtime. Jesse tucks Cody into bed beside her.
Here we go. Here, be close to me there. There. Now remember, there's nothing to worry about, okay? I'm going to be here with you all night.
Will you tell me a bedtime story?
Sure. Once upon a time, there was a special little boy who needed a mom. And there was a sad mom. She needed a son.
Is this a happy story?
I think it is. It has a happy ending anyway.
It feels like it can. Because those other people went away.
No one ever really goes away. Not completely. in this story. That bully from school woke up in his bed like nothing ever happened. And whatever made him so sad and mean was gone.
Tate wakes up in his bed.
And that nice lady who cared for the boy, she came back to her husband. And they lived happily ever after.
Katie and Whelan are reunited. They hug.
And Daddy. Daddy got the best present of all.
Mark opens his eyes and sees Sean standing in front of him. They hug.
Can those things happen?
I guess that depends on you, Cody. You have an amazing gift. Who knows what can happen as it grows?
Thanks for bringing me home.
She kisses the top of his head. Cody holds out his hand and closes his eyes. A blue butterfly appears in his hand. He opens his eyes and smiles. The butterfly turns yellow. Directed by Mike Flanagan. Written by Mike Flanagan and Jeff Howard. Produced by Trevor Macy, PGA, Sam Engelbart, and William D. Johnson. Executive producers Dale Johnson, David Greathouse, Ryan Kavanaugh, Tucker Tooley, D. Scott Lumpkin, Mally Elfman, Julie May, Mike Illich Jr., and Glenn Murray. Co-executive producer Brian Flanagan. Associate producers Melinda Nishioka, Winnie Del Rosario, and James Gibb. Edited by Mike Flanagan. Music by The Newton Brothers. Additional music and themes by Danny Elfman. Cast: Kate Bosworth as Jesse, Thomas Jane as Mark, Annabeth Gish as Natalie, Dash Mihawk as Whelan, Jay Carnes as Peter, Lancey Nichols as the detective, Scotty Thompson as the teacher, and introducing Jacob Tremblay as Cody. An Intrepid Pictures production, a Demarest Films production, a Mike Flanagan film. Copyright 2014, QNO, LLC.
Don't let
Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.